You're back with Annie on Solidarity Breakfast, and I have on the line Margaret Pouturis. G'day, Margaret. How are you?
God, hi, Annie.
Wasn't that a lovely piece of music?
It is. Irish music, always good.
Yeah, always good. And before we have a chat, we're it's all about waging wage peace and the rising militarism in the Australian landscape. But I just thought I'd start with this funny thing that happened. I do crosswords, and because of, you know, COVID does that to you. You do puzzles. And there was this crossword clue that said, focus on social good. And, you know, the answer was radical.
Which, nice.
Which I thought was a real indicator of the issues around wage peace. You wouldn't have thought that waging peace would be a radical concept, but it is, isn't it?
It is. We are sort of moving back into a period of sort of unnoticed or sort of invisible militarism, where it's sort of a value that's not being addressed explicitly by many sections of the society, unfortunately. But we do have a crew that is out there and at the gates of weapons corporations, or in their offices, or in their, actually, a doorstop. We were in their doorstop the last couple of weeks. So there is a crew out there who's trying to address the great silence that we're getting around militarism.
Yeah, so you are actually targeting the manufacturers who are being supported by government to, you know, with this idea that Australia is going to, manufacturing is going to be rescued by the armaments trade.
Yes, there's some reasons why they seem to have slipped into that mode. One is that the corporations are some of the biggest corporations in the world, and they have been pretty systematically doing over most colonizing governments like ours, or Indonesia or Korea, anywhere where the US have a long-standing financial interest. And so their corporations have come in, and they're pretty much in the ministers' offices, telling the governments what to do. You know, our government, you can sort of see, they don't really have many ideas for themselves. They're pretty much on an operational trajectory that's set up by the corporations. And so the weapons companies are right in there. You know, like we had a defence minister who had worked for Raytheon and had been on the board at Raytheon, and then had sort of set herself up for a trajectory to become defence minister. But they're in silent positions as well. They're like the fossil fuel industry. They move in and out of government, into the corporations, into the military themselves. So some of them are military people, and then they move around, and then that's the way they're able to sort of enact the US propaganda agenda and the US agenda itself, the Pentagon's agenda of financial control across the planet.
Yeah, yeah, that revolving door between politicians and it's both sides of politics, in fact.
Yes, there's certainly a bipartisan perspective, and I think that's why we're going after the corporations themselves, because the ALP are totally inside the discourse. You know, unable to take a stand on anything, also poll-driven and focus group-driven. And what we know, you know, we hear this from veterans, is that, high-level serving veterans, that really they're poll-driven. You know, David McBride has told us the wars, they make decisions about wars because it's good electioneering, it resonates with that particular group of men who are swinging voters and don't really have an ethical base to any of their decision making, and so they'll go with the violent conflict. You know, the who's going to win at violence discourse, the toxic masculinity discourse, And so if they can rattle that discourse, then there's a certain they get a certain number of voters. So the ALP are totally in it. They won't take a stand against it. Doesn't matter what their rank and file. You know, basically they've denuded or, you know, silenced their rank and file. And so even if you talk to the rank and file, they go, oh, yes, but. But actually on the ground they are silenced and they won't speak out against it because it's bad for elections.
It's fascinating to me. I listened to a great speech by Jacob Gritsch a couple of May Days ago, where he stood up there talking about the concept of wage peace and how we live in a world where it's the most frightful thing for there to be an outbreak of peace because then the stock exchange goes down.
Yes, well, I think one of the things I was just thinking before the interview is people really need to know that, you know, of the 20 largest Australian corporate companies, they're all owned, more than 50% owned by the US. There's maybe five that are more than 25% owned. The other five are sort of 25% owned. So you've got to think, actually, our financial system is owned by the US corporations themselves. They all invest in each other. And what the US government is doing is protecting those investments. That's its main thing. They're so sort of they're wrapped up in protecting their own financial investments. And so, you know, it's something like BHP only has 10% Australian investment. I know this is a very capitalist way of thinking about it, but we've got to look at what these actual drivers are. And the actual drivers are the corporations are looking to transfer wealth from the Commonwealth into their own, corporate and financial shareholders, sort of. That's where the wealth is moving. And so the best way they do that is to sort of move into government and get government to facilitate that. And the arms trade is the quickest, most easy way of doing that because they're all government contracts. No one else really does government contracts. So if you can get in, get a piece of that pie, it's a very long-standing pie. It's like buying a Hyundai and then having it service that Hyundai for 10 years. Well, what they do is they buy the ships and then have them serviced by the corporations for 30, 40 years. So they have the maintenance contracts that are ongoing. They're often overblown. They're corrupt. And what we know is that the corporations have been moving from government to government. We know this from Andrew Feinstein, the South African MP who left because of corruption, and has taken a stand against the shadow world of the arms trade since then. And what he's seen is that each government becomes more and more corrupt as they take on these arms contracts. And you see this in Indonesia. You know, Indonesia's a special focus of ours. We have a special solidarity partnership with West Papua, and we see those West Papuans fighting non-violently. There's a huge non-violence movement there in West Papua. And we see how their government is now buying attack helicopters from Boeing. It's getting equipment from Australia. It's buying equipment from across the world. You know, Indonesia is not a rich country, but it's using more and more of its yearly spend on weapons. And a proportion of those sit in sheds and on paddocks. You know, we see that in Australia. But a proportion at the moment, a large proportion in Indonesia, is being used in West Papua to strafe villages, from helicopters to shift in large battalions of military in their armoured vehicles. Armoured vehicles are a huge business. Big steel armoured vehicles that are weaponised. A huge business also for Australia. You know, we have Thales in Bendigo, is a factory in Bendigo making armoured vehicles, and they're the one thing that we know has been sold to Indonesia. And that just recently, the defence minister gave 15 of these armoured vehicles to Indonesia to use in West Papua. We know that they're using in the West Papua because we have photos of them in West Papua.
Oh, gosh, it's so disgraceful, isn't it? Australia puts on its best frock and stands up and says, oh, we're a fair nation. And not only that, the Prime Minister had the audacity to talk about our Pacific family when he announces AUKUS.
Yes, I mean, these are all sort of tropes, really. You know, they're all you know, steeped in marketing propaganda. That's their thing. You know, they tell lies, basically. They're lie tellers. And so it really doesn't matter what they say. I mean, they're speaking to a very narrow group of people in every election who they're hoping to win over, you know, who are not already locked on. And so they're speaking really to those people in the society who are wavering ethically, who'll take whatever money is given, who'll take whatever lies, who'll take whatever promises they can make. So they'll say whatever and do whatever. I think the election cycle is incredibly corrupting, and as we move into a federal election cycle, what we notice in the movement is everybody takes their foot off the accelerator and turns left, you know, away, you know, off the trajectory that we're on, instead of at moments when we need, as a movement, to put our foot on the accelerator and go straight ahead for what we're going for. What we find is the movement gets confused and everybody pulls their foot off the accelerator, turns left, and moves into election land, which is just a big waste of time. Unless you're on the hustings for the Greens, trying to get that up a bit. But if you're doing anything else or entering most of those discourses, they're a big waste of time.
Yeah, and that's interesting to me because you know, when people get have, you know, the scales taken from their eyes and they realise that there's so many things that are basically lies, they become very distressed. They can become very emotionally distressed. And COVID has, in a sense, heightened that. But that advice that you just gave is really interesting because it's about people realising, don't get involved in the lies. Just accept it talks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it is a duck, and just keep focusing on the game.
That's right. I mean, I think a lot of us, you can hear some psychological themes here, but I think we get caught up in it because we look to, you know, sort of daddy and mummy government to sort of fix things, and they just never do. You know, we keep going there, but they don't, because they're bought out by the corporations. And the big corporations, Thales, Boeing, Elbit, Rheinmetall, these are all actively selling. And the Australian company is Electro Optic Systems, actively selling into Indonesia, if not from Australia. Thales is coming direct from Australia, but they are all companies that have some subsidiary somewhere in the country. You know, they're decentralised to get around regulations and to, you know, take what they can from regulations. They are selling into Indonesia, and that equipment is being used to militarise West Papua. And what we know is that driving militarism is driving extraction. It's driving deforestation and dispossession. We have a huge internal refugee problem. Refugee. This is real people with real. It's not just a problem. It's real people suffering in West Papua, and that's a dispossession and deforestation. You know, driving militarism is a climate issue because it's driving deforestation. It's driving extraction. It's driving palm oil. It's just driving the worst parts of capitalism.
It's funny you should say that. They keep having these ads for Nutella, and every time I see Nutella, I think palm oil, monoculture, ecological disaster.
Yes, so ecological disaster is at the heart of militarism, and what we see emerging from the climate movement now is that the climate, we can hear it at the school strike, the climate disaster is being driven by colonisation. You know, obvious. It's sort of obvious, but those of us, and I am a white person on Yuggera country, a First Nations country here in Brisbane, but we forget, or we ignored that for so many years. But it's obviously, you know, First Nations people have been crying out and, telling us to listen. And we hear this now in the First Nations people of West Papua as well, telling us the same story. They are being militarised, their borders, their lands, they're being driven out. And this is exactly what happened here in the 1800s through to the 1930s, where this land was militarised inch by inch by inch, with the police and the military joining together to move, shift, terrorise, incarcerate, all those things that go with colonial violence. And this militarisation is going to be driving that on one hand, and on the other hand, it's an immense waste of resources. You know, the numbers... I mean, Tala's just made 200 extra bushmasters for no reason because it was good for the Bendigo election, the electorate, to not pull out the 200, and they just made 200 extras, no reason.
Oh, we have to leave it there, Margaret. Thanks for talking to us.
Oh, no worries, Annie.
More strength to your arm.
Yeah, well, join us in Wage Peace. We will be doing actions there in down there sometime, so keep an eye out. Join us online, wagepeaceau.org.